We are blessed. We are privileged this morning as we have Rod and Cheryl Barks are back visiting with us today, and we're super excited for that. Rod, we're going to invite you on up and let you have a go at it. Is that a good introduction? Maybe I should write some notes when I do this. We're excited. We're so excited to have them back with us this morning and just to share. And I think Rod will be continuing with our series.
Well, good morning, everybody. Bear with me as I put this on. I was a little surprised. I thought we were going to have a greeting time and just kind of hang out and visit and introduce each other. And it was like, Rod's coming. What? I know, just like that. And what an introduction. It's so good. I don't mind. We'll get all tucked in here.
I can entertain the...
I'll bet you could.
The peanut gallery, if you would like. You missed it last week. I did a dance.
Did you really?
Yeah, something I never thought I would do.
What was it like?
Well, not good. It was more of a jig.
I like it.
And I'm Latino. Latinos shouldn't do jigs.
Too funny. Does everybody have their hooch? I like that it's called that. Jordan, did you name it Hooch Jordan or did... Yes, why am I not surprised? That would be a good nickname for Cheryl, I think. Don't you think? Just saying. You know what? I'm not making this up. I took a sip of this, and I thought, this is just really different. I like it, but I'm not sure why even. And it's like a little, it's just a very unique flavor. And then you know what went through my mind? I thought, it's kind of like this church. I really like you. But it's just a really unique flavor. You're just a unique flavor. And there's some commonalities I thought of this and thought, okay, well, what makes this different? It's a liquid, it's hot. I had a coffee this morning, it has that in common. But it's the flavor, it's the taste. God has made a unique flavor called City Light. This church is unique. And it's really important that as a church we embrace our uniqueness. Because if we weren't unique, well, why would we exist? Like, God has unique purposes just for this church. And so the more we embrace our uniqueness, the more we are free to step into what God has for us. This church will touch people that no other church in this area will. It's beautiful. So I propose a name change, maybe First Church of the Hooch or something. I don't know. Just an idea. Yes. Yeah. So are some of you going to take notes this morning? Why am I not surprised? You're a note taker, aren't you, Jane? That's good. We all learn different ways. I took a few notes as I was wandering around during the worship time. I just want to share a couple of things. I felt like when we sang the song, you sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. And we worship team, you kind of got into that rhythm of that. There was a unique, did you guys feel the presence of the Lord settle in around that phrase? I sought the Lord and he heard. I sought the Lord and he heard. And I felt like the Lord was just, he whispered to me, yes, this is a church that sought me. And I really did hear. And he answered. And the way he answered in this case was with peace. There's a peace in the house that, quite frankly, wasn't here when Cheryl and I came the first time. There's a level of peace that is really quite beautiful. And it flows out of, you sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. It's beautiful. Some of you, That phrase, I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered, resonates because you've sought the Lord about particular things in your life. And we our hearts do kind of backflips when we sing phrases like that because it's so true. Some of you have sought the Lord about a church family to belong to, and here you are. He heard and he answered and he planted you here. It's quite beautiful. I usually find that my heart is drawn towards certain people as I'm walking and just praying during the service. And I want to just share over you, what's your first name? Judah. Judah, when I looked at, I was sitting over there and I looked over here and it was like, sometimes in the spirit, you're just drawn like a magnet to someone. You guys know what I mean? And often we can just, I'm a people watcher anyways, so sometimes it's just entertainment to watch people, quite frankly. But we need to pay attention to who the Holy Spirit draws us to, because he's always active. And when I was sitting over there, it was like a magnet to you, Judah, and I'm like, whoa, what's with this guy? And you know what the first word that came to my heart was, this guy has a warrior's heart. And it's a heart that has not been fully expressed or experienced yet. But you're a good guy, Judah, and I want to publicly say that. This is a good young man. And there's a sense of, like, you know, there's a sense of, Judah, that you're probably, when we think a warrior's heart or a warrior's spirit, different things come to mind. And sometimes it's about, you know, on a white steed galloping into battle and all. I think God's wired you up differently. And I think God's made you more of a strategist. And that God will give you creative ways to do things. I think God will give you a strategist heart, and you'll lay down plans and ideas. I think that you're one that wants to figure things out, and as God gives you creative things, that's never just about you, man. That's about God will teach you things so that you as a warrior can teach others, and you will take others with you. You will never be a lone warrior. And I saw in my spirit that as a warrior in that heart that isn't afraid to think a little differently, that I saw that you walking upstream and just a whole bunch of people flowing past you, and you just kept walking against the stream. And that is just a really cool picture. God has given you a resolute spirit. And it's really important that right up front, early in life, you just decide, I'm going to follow Jesus no matter what. I think you already know him, right? But we just there are moments in our life that are lordship moments. They're kind of hinge moments. And I think that Jesus will bring you to a hinge moment where you say, no matter what, God, no matter what. For me, guys, it was I was probably 14 years old, and you might resound with this. I don't know, Judah, but I grew up in northern Saskatchewan, and in the fall we hauled bales every year. And one night in the fall, when after finishing hauling bales, it was dark, and we were the northern lights had already come out. And we went in for a late dinner, and I lied to my parents and said, I'm going to bed, I'm really tired, because I slept downstairs, and then I slipped outside, and I went and I laid on top of the freshly made bale stack, and I remember laying on the top of it, just like this, and watching the northern lights, and they were dancing, and they were just, the whole sky was just aflame with light and brightness, and I remember like it was yesterday, I said, Jesus, I will go anywhere, and I will serve you for the rest of my life. And I'll do whatever you want, and I'll go wherever you want. It was a hinge moment. I think that, Judah, God will bring you to some hinge moments even in the next few years. That it's really that those are moments where you just say, wherever, whatever, God. But I just say, you're a good man. You have a warrior spirit. And I also want to address there's a guy in the second row with a black hoodie, and I don't know what he's saying across there. Little goatee. I looked at you and I felt like, yes, the peace sign, that your past does not determine your future. And there's a sense of there is a destiny upon your life that is yet to be experienced. There is way, way more to come, man. And you just keep saying yes to Jesus. It's almost like cobwebs that just need to kind of be shaken off. And don't be afraid to shake those suckers off, the stuff that links you to that past stuff. It doesn't determine your future, man. So I don't know if that means anything to you, but I share that with you as an encouragement to you. What is your name? Dion. Thanks, Dion. You're a good guy. Wow. Let me move this forward a little bit. My computer, my Bible, and my hooch. I want to share this morning as part of a series. Has this series begun already, or is this the beginning? We're week three. I'm week three. You're week three. It's a reset series. And what were the first two? No, don't say anything. This is a review. What was week number one? Reset. No, you can't look at your notes. Anybody else? Reset. Elias, what was it? I know you weren't here. That's why I'm asking you. Anybody remember back to week one? Reset. Reset your soul. Is that right? Good. Are you checking notes? Yeah, it's mental notes. I get that. My mental notes are sometimes locked and well shrouded, and I know they're up there, but I can't access them very well, so I applaud that. Reset your soul. And then last week was reset your focus. Right on. You shared that, didn't you? Yeah, I heard you hit the ball out of the park. Right on. It's very good. I want us to chat today about resetting our thinking. What do you think? Mark chapter 12, we're going to read especially from verse 30. We're going to read lots of scripture today, or at least several significant ones. Mark chapter 12. Jesus is asked, which commandment is most important? And in Mark chapter 12, verse 30, he replies, Mark 12 and verse 30, we'll start in verse 29. Actually, Mark 12, 29. Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Jesus, I pray that we would understand your word today. We would be aware of the whisper of your spirit. And we would have a resolute determination to respond to the direction and the nudges that your Holy Spirit sets. We love you, we love you, we love you. Amen. What does it mean to love the Lord with our mind? We just read that. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength and mind. I used to think that to love the Lord with our mind involved taking classes and academia and reading books that stretch us and enrolled in another program, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the older I get, the more I'm aware that it's far more than that. It's really about the daily management of our thinking and of our thoughts. And guys, according to these verses that we've read, each time we welcome the right thoughts and reject the wrong thoughts, Jesus actually feels loved by us. Isn't that an amazing thought? That you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength and mind. So as the mind is the way we process our thoughts, it's the management of our thinking. It's the way we think. And when we think properly, we are actually loving Jesus. Crazy. Now, when we understand the number of thoughts we have each day, we also get a glimpse of this sheer amount of loving that's possible. Most studies indicate fairly common numbers. Most agree that individuals think, you and I think, 50,000 to 70,000 thoughts a day. Really? Some women have a whole lot more than that. Thoughts and words. Let's not even talk about the words, eh? So when we use the very conservative number of 50,000 thoughts a day, isn't that, like, that's just mind-blowing, 50,000 thoughts a day. And that's conservative. That's about 2,100 thoughts in an hour. We began a little late, so, you know, we're a little over an hour in, but the average, most of us have processed, I'm going to say, around 2,500 thoughts since we entered the building. Crazy! Every 1.5 seconds, amazing. And what's cool is when we realize the intensity and the enormity of it, again, the amount of loving that is possible. And that our worship goes way beyond what happens on the stage on Sunday. Our worship flows throughout the week as we process our thinking. You shall love the Lord your God with all your mind. Even at night, the thoughts continue. Psalm 16 and verse 7 says, I will praise the Lord who counsels me, and even at night my heart instructs me. Have we ever gone to sleep with a problem on our mind and somehow in the middle of the night we figured it out? Like, could it be that God is active even while we're sleeping? Scientists who are way smarter than you and me say that our mind is only 5% less active when we're sleeping. There's a lot going on, way more than your snoring, Cheryl. We'll talk about this later, I know. Psalm 42 and verse 8 says, by day the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Apparently, the prayers are going on to the God of my life while we sleep even. Have you awakened with someone on your mind? Have we, like, there's so much going on. Today, we want to especially focus upon resetting our thinking. And if we come away with one takeaway, it will be that I am responsible for my thinking. Guess what? So are you. We are responsible for our own thinking. Okay, stand to your feet. Let's make a declaration here. You ready? Come on, everybody up, unless you are not able to stand due to some physical ailment or back injury. All right, repeat after me. You ready? I am the gatekeeper of my mind. It is my responsibility. And no one else's. I choose which thoughts I will welcome. I am not a victim. I am responsible. Thought management is not up to my friend. It's not up to my parent. It's not up to my child. It's not up to my employer. And it's certainly not up to my government. It's not up to my church. Thought management is my responsibility. I am a child of God, created for destiny, and I participate in what the future looks like. I am the gatekeeper of my mind. Amen. Sit down or go home. Either way, we're good. Philippians 4 and verse 8 says, let me read the final few verses for few words first. Philippians 4 and verse 8 finishes with, think about such things. Choice is astounding, people. Apparently, God thinks that we can think and we can make choices about what we will ponder. Think about such things as the way that it finishes up. Here's how it proceeds. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. We make choices. Let me give you an example. Humor me for a minute. Can everyone in the room think at this time about a red elephant? Like, you can kind of pick it. It's totally red. It's got this trunk, and even the trunk is red. But think now about the fact it's a happy elephant. It's like Claudio. It's doing a happy Latino elephant dance. You know? Okay, let's change it to blue, like just like that. It's a blue elephant. Like we can, what's with that stuff, you guys? It's amazing. We can choose our thoughts. We can choose what we're going to ponder. Now, why is this awareness such a big deal? Why does God make such a big deal of it? The reason is our brain is not a stagnant thing that once it's created, it's always the way it is. Like, Judah, that's why we talk about making decisions, right? And deciding right up front. What's with that? Isn't that already there? Isn't your brain already preformed? What happens is the brain is more like a piece of clay that is constantly being shaped. It's kind of like Elias has spent lots of time. This is a really great young couple. If you haven't already met them, you should afterwards, okay? Elias, you spent lots of time around the GTHA, right? Greater Toronto, Hamilton area. And it's a little different than Vancouver area in that Vancouver were so conscious of trees that were hesitant to make new overpasses and whatever. The GTHA is just a constant revamping of highways and overpasses, and oh, that one didn't work, so we're going to make a new on-ramp and an off-ramp and an out-ramp and who knows what, and all we know is we're snarled in traffic for 3 hours, right? It's a constant juggling, trying to figure out the flow of traffic in a better way. Our brains are not so different, people. There is a rewiring that is constantly going on. Scientists call it neuroplasticity. We are shaped by the thoughts that we entertain. And what we think affects the chemicals that are produced, the proteins, the wiring, even our genetic makeup, according to Carolyn Leaf, who is a predominant mind specialist. We go, our genetic makeup, I thought that was predisposed. She actually says that when the things we think about actually affect our genetics. The one of the many examples that she gives is that women who are sexually abused, do you think there are women here who have been sexually abused? We know that. Sexual abuse affects the way that an individual thinks. There are memories that are automatically linked to it. There is associations that are made. And did you know, though, that women who are sexually abused have a 60% higher chance of having a baby with autism? And we link autism to genetics, which it is, but the women who have been sexually abused, it's actually affecting what they pass on to the next generation. And don't hear what I'm not saying. If you have a child or a relative or whatever who suffers from autism, I'm not saying that you are an evil person or anything. I am simply emphasizing the fact that what we think makes a radical difference. Exodus 34 and verse 7, you can read this later. But it talks about passing on to future generations, even to the third and the fourth generation. It's why the Bible talks about the sins of the parents. It can create a disposition. But folks, I want to be really careful too, that just because the sins of the parents create a disposition in a child, it doesn't mean that our destiny is lost. Because in every child that comes into this world, which means each of us who are here today, God has also given us the miraculous power of choice. I think next to salvation, it's maybe the most miraculous thing. If I was God, I don't think I would give me choice. We choose whether we would focus and think about negativity and depression and alcoholism and angry households and sexual sin or whatever, or we choose to think on what is true and what is noble and what is right and what is pure and what is lovely and what is admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. Think about such things. It's one of the reasons that the atmosphere in this church has shifted even since Cheryl and I have begun to hang out. It's a different conversation going on. It's a different pondering. It's a determination. We're not just going to live in the past. We're going to focus forward. And isn't God good? Look what he's going to do. Look what he is doing. There's a difference, folks. What are we focusing on? What are we thinking about? Again, why is this awareness such a big deal? Because we're shaping our brain, people. I want to emphasize that choice is involved. We often approach our thinking kind of like we're Walmart greeters. Welcome to Walmart. Welcome to Walmart. Good to have you. Welcome to Walmart. Welcome to Walmart. Come on in. Welcome to Walmart. Incidentally, it's one of my pet peeves. I think we should put the very best people at the door. Anyways. We often treat our thoughts like a Walmart greeter, and we just go, oh, it's on my mind. I guess I need to welcome it. Why? I read the news, and it's really horrible. I'm just going to entertain those thoughts and think about them. Isn't the world bad? Interest rates probably going up. I'll never afford a house. I might never be able to afford the next meal. No. It's the spiral of thinking. We make choices, people. We are not Walmart greeters of the mind. We're not. Doug and I were talking this morning. Did you know Doug used to work for WestJet? I didn't know this. Oh, the things you learn. I feel like it's a Dr. Seuss book or something. Oh, the things you learn when you talk to Doug. We were talking about, wow, that's a little bit of a hit there. It's a good hit. Doug, we were talking about the fact that when you were at the gate, at WestJet Gate, right, you were making choices about who could come onto the plane and who couldn't. And some came up with a ticket, and it was like, yeah, everything's valid. But some would come up with an invalid boarding pass. There's the right terminology. An invalid boarding pass that's for two gates down. And you're like, no, that's two gates down. You don't come on this plane. You can go down there. Or mentioned that somebody who had too much to drink, not allowed on the plane. Sorry. That's more like the management of our minds, people. We make choices about who we're what thoughts we allow in, what we're going to entertain. It would be like Vancouver playing Toronto. Vancouver won last night, 6-4. I don't actually know, were they playing at Rogers? Okay, so the Rogers Arena seats 18,890 people. You all knew that though, right? Every single one enters via a gate. And judgments are being made. Those 18,890 people don't represent all the people that tried to come in. Only the valid ones that belong, whether they're a player or an official or a fan and they've paid the proper price, only they are allowed in. Guys, just because we have 50,000 thoughts a day doesn't mean that we entertain them all. We choose which ones we're going to say, come on in, put up your feet, I'll get you a cup of hooch. And we choose which ones we're going to say, get out of my mind. You do not belong here. I'm not going to entertain you. We make choices, people. We're not Walmart greeters, and we are not victims. According to God's word, we are to be vigilant. We guard the mind gate. Now, turn to Romans 8. I was going to say we're going to wrap this up, but, well, we will eventually, just not immediately. Are you still tracking with me? Okay. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 5, it talks about what we're talking about. Romans 8, verse 5 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds, did you hear that? Set their minds. When I mentioned, think about a red elephant. What was that? We were setting our minds. Incidentally, some of you are going to have great dreams tonight about red elephants dancing. Love it. When you're having those dreams, you have permission to phone Jane and say, Jane, I'm having a dream. Interpret it for me. For those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. Oh, interesting. But those who live according to the Spirit, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind, we are hearing a recurring theme. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. Have we ever started to think about fleshly things and it feels like we're eating a diet of death warmed over? I have. And we end up in the spiral of negativity and sometimes sin. And it didn't start with negativity and sin. It started with an entertained thought. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It's hard to be intimate with God when we're allowing fleshly thoughts to just dominate our thinking. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, does the Spirit of God dwell in us? Yes! As long as we love Jesus and have invited him in. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. It's beautiful. According to this scripture, using the scenario again, excuse me, we used to have to sit at the gate of our lives by ourselves, you guys, before coming to know Jesus. And the requirements for entertaining thoughts were, will it feel good? Oh, it'll feel good. Okay, come on in. It'll feel good. And the ones we keep out were usually, will it restrict me? Oh, I don't want any restrictions. I'm my own man. I'm making my own way. We used to sit at the gate of our lives. And I talk to unbelievers and go, how's that working for you? It never results in intimacy with God, which is our ultimate purpose for being on earth. We used to sit at the gate by ourselves. But guys, when we accept Christ and we say, Jesus, come, he doesn't just revolutionize our eternal future and our destiny. He actually comes and sits at the gate of our mind with us. Holy Spirit lives within us, and he will convict us regarding what thoughts to welcome and which ones to not welcome. I love that about Jesus. He's active. Sometimes we call that conviction. Whoa, I shouldn't be thinking that. That's not Rod, that's the Holy Spirit allowing me to live in alignment with his desires. Why? Because it's good for me, and I get to enjoy God all the more. And God gets to enjoy me all the more as I love him more and more and more with my 50,000 thoughts a day. The Holy Spirit gives us grace to know which thoughts to welcome and which ones not to. And he's given us some ways of determining that. We're back again to the Philippians verse. You know, we can put thoughts to the test. Is it true? Is it noble? Is it right? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it admirable? Is it excellent? Is it praiseworthy? Oh, it is? Awesome. Think about it. Ponder it. If it's not, out of here. Second Corinthians 10 and verse 5 says, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. If you're like me, sometimes you wrestle with your thoughts. Welcome to being a human being. The greatest tool that God has given us is the awareness that yes, we have a choice and no, we're not victims. Sometimes when I'm wrestling with my thoughts, I will actually close my eyes and picture walking up to that thought, whether it's anger or lust or unforgiveness, because sometimes it's really hard to forgive people, especially when they've put on their idiot hat for the day. You know, they're just being really stupid. I can't change them, but I can forgive. And sometimes in my mind, I just walk up to that thought and go, unforgiveness? This sounds kind of crazy, but I'll actually picture it. Unforgiveness, you don't belong in my mind, and I'm not going to let you wander around. And in Jesus' name, you need to go. Sometimes I picture actually grabbing unforgiveness by the scruff of the neck and taking it to the edge and saying, here, Jesus, you take care of this thought, because it needs to be gone in your name. We take captive every thought. We don't just say, come on in. We're Walmart of the day. What's really great, guys, is the more we work at it, the better we get. I find that some thoughts are really sneaky. It's like, I just want to hang out in the corner of your mind for a while. You know, I won't disrupt too much, whatever. They're just sneaky because they always move from the corner into the middle eventually. I'm still learning how to manage my thoughts, how to love God with my mind. And I suspect that that will be happen till the day I die. If you wrestle with your thoughts, know that you're in good company. We all do. The kicker is we don't give up. We continue to wrestle. We work it. We recognize we're not victims. One final verse. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Crazy. We are actually transformed by the renewing of our mind. We are not victims. When we make choices, we banish some thoughts, we choose we choose to welcome the right thoughts. That's why I love our worship, you know, the availability of worship music today. Great podcast, teaching, on and on and on. We can choose what we're going to think about. And if we're tempted to gallop down a road, well, we just make a choice and we gallop down another one. But when we do, when we choose the wrong things, we actually, remember there's wiring. We're returning to this. There's wiring that is established in our brain. When we choose the right things, we are transformed. The word transformed literally means renovated. Cheryl and I have bought and sold houses over the years, and I think everyone is involved some level of renovation. And it's a process. It's like, you know, this hallway, if we move this wall, we could actually have a freer flow from the living room to the kitchen and not have to go around that corner every time. And when we think on the right things, there is a renovation of the mind. And I want to just say that for some here, our natural thinking has led towards negativity or depression or addiction expression of whatever nature. Just know that that may be so, but it's not the way it has to be. There can be a renovation of the mind, and what used to lead to depression can lead to joy. God will revamp and build pathways in that weren't there before. And what used to lead to addiction expressions can actually lead into levels of freedom. Jesus renovates the mind. But we are responsible as gatekeepers of our thoughts. So this is not the kind of message that we say, now all come forward and, you know, our thinking will be completely done. No, it's one of those ones. We just go and live out, people. Is there anything that you would like to share before? I would like to close in prayer, but is there anything you would like to share beforehand? Okay. Lord Jesus, this can be a troubling message. I understand that. Because, Lord, when we're honest with you, we've all struggled with our thinking, and sometimes it's stinking thinking, and the odor just kind of permeates throughout our day. And it affects our relationships, it affects our jobs, it affects everything, because, Lord, because of our thinking, we built wrong neural pathways, and, Lord, we repent of that. We repent, Lord Jesus, of having a Walmart greeter mentality regarding our thoughts. Jesus, I thank you that you have not called us to sit at the gate of our mind by ourselves. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence in our lives. Thank you that you instruct us. Thank you for conviction. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for telling us what to welcome and what to kick out. And I pray in Jesus' name for a supernatural Holy Spirit-infused week. I pray for a courageous spirit. Lord, I ask that when the wrong thoughts have taken hold, we would walk into our mind figuratively, we would grab onto it, and we would kick it out in Jesus' name. I pray that we would be Holy Spirit-anointed kicker-outers of thoughts. And I pray that we would be welcomers of the things that you want us to think on. And I thank you, Jesus, that as we welcome the right things, that our destiny is life, our destiny is peace, our destiny is purpose, our destiny is impact, our destiny is intimacy with you, Jesus. I thank you for this church. I thank you for the grace upon this church. I thank you that they are living, breathing examples of what can happen when we focus upon the right things and we choose to leave the wrong things in the past. And I thank you, Jesus, for the future that is bright. I thank you, Jesus, for the neighborhood, for the city that will be impacted by City Light. I thank you, Jesus, for the leadership here. I honor them and I bless them. And Father, I pray that the joy of the Holy Spirit would be the fuel for our week. We tell you that we love you. We tell you that we love you. We tell you that we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.